Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? If you want to communicate with us today, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. It's getting serious, isn't it? Government's taking on the big tech companies like Facebook and Twitter and Google. And this had to happen. I've been telling you this for so long, it had to happen. They had far too much power and they were wielding it, I thought, in some cases, irresponsibly. They've been courting and cozying up to governments for the last 10 or 15 years, and now it's time for payback. And in a number of books I've read about all of this, they say that it's a global problem, that if we're going to take on the big tech companies, we need to do it globally, and governments from all over the world need to cooperate, because Australia or New Zealand or Ireland on its own isn't going to be able to take on the might of Google or Facebook. So it needs to be an international, transnational effort to try and just take a little bit of their power back and make them responsible for things that appear on their platforms and all of that. It's things that people have been saying for a long time, but nothing has been done about it. And now it's getting serious down the Southern Hemisphere. So we'll keep a watch on that and see what happens there. Just draw your attention very quickly. Traditional media, as in newspaper. Richard Allen, writing to the Irish Times today. He lives in Cumeen in Sligo. And he says, "Sir, I can't wait for lockdown to end. Then I won't have to go for a walk." You see, that's funny because you get it. You get that, don't you? Yeah, you get that. And Dara Solon from Cavantilly in Dublin says, "Tom Gilson laments that RTE and other channels give us daily close-ups of vaccine injections and recommends these arms be decommissioned." You see, get that? Yeah. "I, for one, wish to defend their right to bear arms." So there. But the people have a genuine fear of injections, and they were on to Liveline a few weeks ago. Now, big day today. It's a huge day today, and it's cross-platform and it's international. Of course, I speak of Operation Transformation, virtual 5K run. It's never been on a Thursday before. It's never been virtual before, but we live in unprecedented times, uncharted waters. And as a result, the 5K that has become a staple of the year, the calendar, in our year and everybody year around the country, is now gone virtual. And today, tomorrow and Saturday, 25,000 people all over the world will be running 5K each. So that's what? Over 125,000 kilometres will be clocked up over the coming days. Now, I was, I don't know, nominated. I didn't really volunteer. I was nominated. I was honoured. Yes, I was honoured to be chosen. That's what happened. I was honoured to be chosen. The start at this morning. So I was standing, it was about 3 degrees centigrade in UCD with Dan the cameraman and Rob the director. And we were on Facebook Live and we were looking at the Mayor of Dublin, Hazel Chew, and presenter of Operation Transformation, Catherine Thomas, both of them dressed in red, looking splendiferous and standing socially distanced, of course, on the steps of the Mansion House. They were having a chat. I couldn't really hear what they were saying. And then just after 9 o'clock, the Lord Mayor rose her air horn in the air and went, and I was off. I was off, me and Stanley and Rob the director, because we went from Facebook Live to Instagram Live. You see, it's all platforms, all platforms. And Rob ran with me and Stanley for about, I don't know, 600 metres or so. And I was gibbering on to anybody who was watching on Instagram. And there's things like that happening right across the next 3 days. And of course, the five leaders. A big challenge for some of the leaders, not so much of a challenge for others. Hazel and Sharon and Paul and Andrew are doing the 5K. But the first leader to do the 5K will be starting her 5K in about 6 minutes' time. And she's on the line now. Susanna Comalafi. Hello, Susanna.
Hi, how are you, Ray?
It's very exciting, Susanna.
It is.
I suppose of all the leaders, this is probably the biggest challenge for you, is it?
I think so. I believe so, yeah.
Yes.
It is.
So tell people, before recently, when was the last time you moved yourself through 5 kilometres?
That is decades now. Decades.
Like, we're talking 30 years, are we?
Yeah, roughly.
Yes.
Around that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now is Carl there with you, or are you communicating with him across?
Yeah, Carl is with me, yeah.
Yes. Hello, Carl.
Hi, Carol.
Carol,
we're very socially distant here in Cavanaugh. I can promise you that. We're just at the start line here. We're getting ready to go. Susanna's blowing me kisses here. She's all excited.
Okay.
And, it's going to be great fun ahead.
Now you've been a tough taskmaster for Susanna, Carol. What's your prediction for what's going to happen in 5 minutes' time?
I have been a tough taskmaster, that's for sure. We set a 15-minute target and we're going to work as close to that as we possibly can. The key thing for Susanna is, if you look at how far she's come, Ray, in terms of 8 weeks ago, she could barely walk outside her front door in terms of that pathway. Wouldn't walk back up the stairs after coming down the stairs. Now she's about to walk 5K eight weeks later. It's brilliant. It's amazing.
Okay.
That's what Operation Transformation is all about. It's hard work and it's graft, and it culminates at the 5K. So yeah, it's great.
Okay, so for Susanna, this for you is a real transformation in that you're
it
gone...
This is the transformation itself.
Yes. You're gone from a stop start to going through 5 kilometres, which is brilliant. So I don't know what to say to you other than keep moving. You're well capable of doing it. You know that.
Yeah.
And Carol, you know, he's very competitive, and he
too
is
much.
Too much. He's not going to let you fail on this one, Susanna.
No.
a failure for you is a failure for him. So he's going to drive you on. He'll be in your ear, socially distanced, of course. So you've hydrated. You're ready. Is there any support? Any of your neighbours out there? Your neighbour who's...
I have my friend Caroline is here. My son is here. I have another friend David and his wife.
Yes.
And I have just people all around walking, having, you know, waving their hands.
Yes.
And the team.
Yeah.
You know, I have from Carbon Partnership, you know, the whole way through. Yeah. So many support.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And you're wearing red, of course.
I'm wearing red.
Yes.
And I'm wearing my carbon collar on top of the red.
Blue and red. Okay, blue and red. Yes, okay. I tell you what, I'm going to give you 2 minutes just to prepare there, be alone with your thoughts, you know, psych yourself up and motivate yourself. And will you do us a favour? And when you've finished it, will you send us a voice note on WhatsApp? And just let us know how you get on. Okay.
Yes, I will. Yeah.
Well, Susanna Comalafi, the first leader in this year's Operation Transformation to take on the Operation Transformation Virtual 5K. Good luck. See you, Carol.
Thank
good
you
luck.
Know.
Good luck. Good luck. Yay! Wee, 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 wee. There's sort of nervous energy about it because, as I say, for Susanna, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And she's gone from, literally, she's gone from couch to 5K in the last 8 weeks. So we'll hopefully hear from her if she gets it done in 50 minutes. That would be what, if she starts at 45, that'd be 4:05. So we hope to get some word from her before the end of the programme. Also today, we had a lovely chat with Edith Eger yesterday evening after the show, and we're going to play that out for you today. I'll talk a bit more about that. And Charlene McKenna, who is a brilliant actor, is appearing in a new BBC drama called Bloodlands, which starts on Sunday night, starring James Nesbitt. And we'll be talking to her about that and her wedding, because there were pictures in all the papers this weekend, or actually earlier in the week, of Charlene and her husband and the wedding pictures. They got married up in Castle Leslie, so we're going to talk to her about that as well. And the story of an Irishman in Sweden who saved the lives of two elderly people who fell to ice. That's all to come. And of course, our quiz of today. Today, the 18th of February, we've cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years, decades, centuries. You know, yeah, big news stories, scientific breakthroughs, movies, TV shows, songs, births and deaths. And we need two people to answer 5 questions each and maybe win a prize. Our prize this week comes from the I Knew A Collection. Each day this week, a lucky listener will win a 2-night break with dinner in any of their 4-star hotels. And they have loads of them. You might choose to kick back into Kenny's chic Hibernian Hotel, spend some downtime in Dundalk's Fairways, taste the magic in the 4-star Tullamore Court Hotel, or the Hillgrove in Monaghan, or any of their Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. More information, inua.ie. Inua.ie. Now, to be involved, you have to answer our qualifying question. And today, here we want to know, in which Irish province would you find the county of Leitrim? Which Irish county would you find the province of Leitrim? 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Thank you. and for anything that's on your mind, 51551, ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Blood, Sweat and Tears and Spinning Wheel on RTE Radio 1, 51551, ray@rte.ie. Indeed, good luck to everybody who's taking part in the Operation Transformation virtual 5K. Started this morning at 9 o'clock and it goes on till Saturday at midnight. And people are encouraged to post pictures of themselves wearing red, running around the localities. And in a way, it's more exciting than previous years because more people can be involved and you don't have to venture outside your 5K radius. So there'll be loads of red around all over the country. And if you see somebody out running wearing red or out walking wearing red, you know what they're doing. They're involved in the Operation Transformation virtual 5K. Have I said that enough times now? I think I have. So give them a hootie or a horn or a wave or a bit of encouragement. That'd be great. 51551 ray@rte.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Karen has been on. Absolutely thrilled to hear you'll be speaking to Edith Eger. She is someone I hugely admire and she inspires me. I found her book, The Choice, very helpful in helping me face a particularly difficult phase of my life. She's been through so much awful, hellish trauma, but she learned to acknowledge it, learn from it and go on to help countless others. Bravo, Edith. That's from Karen. And of course, we interviewed Edith on the radio about 4 years ago and then on the telly about 3 years ago. And she is truly an amazing woman. And for people who don't know her story, at 16, her family, her sister, Magda and herself and her parents were brought to Auschwitz. Her parents were gassed. Magda and Edith miraculously managed to survive. They were at death's door when they were finally liberated. And early on in Auschwitz, Edith was called up for a private audience, so to speak, with the angel of death. He was called Joseph Mengele. And he had heard that she was a ballerina and he had asked her to dance for him. And it's described in the book, The Choice. And if you haven't read it, it comes highly recommended from here. And that's such an horrific thing. And it's great when you read it to know how Edith survived that and where she went in her head. And she still dances and she still does a high kick when she's doing public engagements at the age of 92, 93. And when she was on the TV, because she loves dancing so much, we danced together. Myself and herself, the little dance around the place, to this, yeah. And I can't tell you how special that was to be dancing with Edith Eger, and she got a standing ovation that night. Anyway, yesterday evening after the show, we caught up with her in her home in La Jolla. And we started off, of course, as you would, by saying hello. Hello, Dr. Edith Eger.
Hello, hello, my dancing partner.
Oh, you're so lovely. You're so lovely. That's a memory I will take with me to my grave, Edith.
Yes, I think that you were the most sensitive, beautiful interviewer, and
I don't know about that.
So wonderful to hear your voice.
Yes, and great to hear yours too. And congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Yeah. So The Gift, 12 Lessons to Save Your Life, and it's yes. Edith Eger's second book, and a lot of you would have read The Choice, and indeed we interviewed Edith about The Choice on the radio and on the television. And you not only are a writer and a Holocaust survivor, but you're an eminent psychologist and you treat people still at the age of 92, Edith.
Yes, 93.
Yeah, 93.
Since I show you.
Yes. But what I get from The Gift and from reading interviews and talking to you is that you get as much from your therapy sessions as your patients do.
I think the most obnoxious person is my best teacher. And that's good for everybody to know that what you don't like in other people, you better look at that in you. And it usually has to do something with someone from your or family of origin that you didn't do the work, and you can carry it from generation to generation. There is such a thing as a generational legacy.
Yeah, and you say in the book on that, you say, we're not all descendants of Nazis, but we each have a Nazi within. Will you explain that to me?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I graduated with honors, and I never showed up for my graduation because I didn't forgive myself that I survived. We create a concentration camp that is in our own mind, especially if you're a perfectionist. You're going to procrastinate, you know?
Yes, yes.
I think it's very important to really think about your thinking, because what you think, you create. We need to look at everything within us, especially the part in us that says, yes, but. Yes, 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 I am very pretty, but I'm fat and I'm pimply, and, you know, and I say, give me the but and I give you and. Because when you say but, you cancel everything you said before the but.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, and. I am one of a kind. Yes, God only made one of me. Yes, many people can do what I can do, but not the way I can do it. I'm unique. I'm one of a kind, authentic, yes. Diamond, yeah. Of a loving God.
And that's a theme throughout the book in the 12 chapters.
Yes.
It's self-love. We need to love ourselves unconditionally.
Yes.
It's very difficult
yes.
for us to do that, though, isn't it, Edith?
Especially when you are... coming from a family that cares more about what other people think than you. And see, love is not what you feel, it's what you do. And if you are a father to a role model to the children, your children want to know how you treat their mother.
Mm.
So...
that's important.
Love is the way you care, the way you committed to someone else's welfare.
And it's hugely important. Can I bring you to a lovely description in the book about you being a guest of honour at the Dutch National Ballet, and yourself and your daughter Audrey were there. Can you describe that to me?
It was the most wonderful memories that I take with me, because she was portraying me and I was sitting there in the audience with tears in my eyes. It was brilliantly done, the way she's portraying me and the way he wants to really dance with her. And she keeps moving away, moving away, moving away. It was so brilliantly put together, so sensitively.
Mm.
And then she brought me the flowers, and hundreds of people gave us, believe me, I don't know how long it lasted, a standing ovation. It's one of the truly highlights of my life, and hopefully I get to see her, because I remember she told me then that she wants to come to America and talk to me about her boyfriend. So I don't know whether they got married or not. I like to know.
Yeah.
I like to know. And by the way, I never ask people, how can I help you? I say, how can I be useful to you? Because, you know, I'm not Humpty Dumpty. I don't put people back together. But I give people an opportunity to discover the part of them, especially now that we are locked in, to really where are they with their own lives, and see how everything happens in a way that we can find a gift in it. You know, when I was 40, my supervisor told me to go get a doctorate, and I said, it's impossible. It's impossible. By the time I get a doctorate, I'll be 50. And he said, you'll be 50 anyway. It's the best thing I ever heard. And chronological age is going to happen anyway. So this is a good time to redecide and regroup.
You have longevity in your genes because your Aunt Matilda lived till she was 100.
And so did my sister, but she lied about her age. And she was just 100 years old, and she tells you that she's 99. I don't know why 1 year makes such a difference. But she must have lied when she came to America, because officially she's 99, but I know that she was born in 1921.
Yeah.
And that makes her 100 years old.
Yes, that's Magda.
Magda, yes, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So the choice was in 2017, and that has changed your life, Edith, in that, you know, people all over the world have read your story,
yes,
and they've connected with it in a real way. And you've got,
yes,
letters and emails from all over the world. What sort of things...
All over the world.
What sort of things do people say to you?
I think it's very, very useful for me to tell you that what comes out of your body doesn't make you ill. And that's why when you're angry, you can do three things. You can vent it.
Yes.
You can suppress it. And that's what they say in Hungary to women. Don't breathe into your breast. What comes out of your body doesn't make you ill. But I like you to dissolve anger. Because when you're angry, you gave your power away.
Mm.
And I want to teach you how not to allow anyone to get to you. The closer I came to the darkness in Auschwitz, the stronger I became to look at life from inside out. I could not change the externals. They could have put me in a gas chamber any minute and torture me and beat me, but they could never murder my spirit. And that's what I'm hoping to tell people. Please write your book.
Yeah.
It has a lot of tears in it. People ask me, how long did it take you? And I say, a lifetime.
You keep the spirit of your mother and father alive, and you say in the book, which is lovely, that whenever you're dressing up for an occasion, when you look in the mirror...
Yes, I do.
What do you do?
Especially now, because I love the Zoom, because my father told me I'll be the best dressed girl in town. So now I can wear my nightgown and put a beautiful Gucci scarf over it. And that's all I have to do. I don't have to go to the plane. I don't have to stand in line. It is wonderful. Mm. I love the Zoom.
Yeah, that's
next
very...
time I want to see you and give you a hug through the Zoom.
Yeah. You talk an awful lot about grief in the book and how to get over grief. And,
yes.
And that's the thing. We never get over grief, do we?
No, I don't know that word, getting over it.
Okay.
No, I don't get over it, I don't forget it, but I come to terms with it.
Yes.
I call it my cherished wound. Auschwitz taught me how to look at the guards, that they were the prisoners, and how to learn truly to be closer to God. The darker things were, the closer I became to the God who guided me to change hatred into pity. I felt sorry for the guards, throwing children into the oven without even guessing them, that they were in a uniform of someone who probably never really read Plato, and that was Ahmadinejad in Iran. And, you know, I was interviewed by Larry King, who just died. Yeah. And he said that the Holocaust didn't exist. So if somebody tells you such a thing, don't try to deny their truth. Because truth is really very subjective. It's my truth and your truth. You just say, thank you for your opinion. Because when people make up their minds and they listen to a lie, our biggest enemy is really denial. People need to examine whoever tells you what and know whether it has anything to do with the truth. And Plato said you have to think of a lie. You have to. It has to be a big one. I was told every day that Jews are cancer to society, and I will never get out of here alive. The only way I will get out of here is a corpse. And guess what? I'm talking to you.
Hey!
At 93. I don't want to win the battle. I want to win the war.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
some people just want to be right.
Yeah. Well, but there are some, you know, there are some obviously wrongs, and what happened to you and what happened to 6 million Jews was a definite wrong. And when people read your book, they get angry on your behalf. What do you do with your anger, Edith, your own anger?
Well, you know, I was guided by my precious God, Tinkerbell, the free spirit, who tells me, I don't like it, it's inconvenient, and it's temporary, and I can survive it.
Okay.
Yeah. So pay attention what you're paying attention to, and what you think is very important, it truly is, when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and say, I love me. Love thy neighbor as thyself is very, very wonderful. That was said by a very poor Jewish boy called Jesus.
Yeah. We told our listeners you were coming on, and I was going to be talking to you, and we asked them if they had any questions or comments for you. So I'll just read some of them to you, if you don't mind. Anne says,
sure.
She says, Edith loved your book, The Choice, which passed, and I passed it on to my sister. Can I ask what advice you could give us during the pandemic? I'm handling it well. I've lots to do, but I do miss my friends, lunches and nights out, etc. Sometimes I feel I'm getting used to this and won't know how to react when we're back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
What have you got to say to Anne?
There is a difference between reacting or responding. When you react, many times you don't think. And you have to really check out a movie called The Karate Kid, because it tells you that the best power is brain power. Auschwitz was an opportunity to discover what my ballet master told me, that God built me in such a magnificent way that all my ecstasy has to come from inside out. And when I was in Auschwitz, that's when I began to know what that word meant. When he told me, I didn't know what ecstasy was. But now I know that nobody makes me happy. I make me happy.
Yeah.
And it's very, very good for you to look at this time, to tell your wife, I'm ready to have a love affair, and I want to have it with you. And see that there is no going back. There is a new beginning.
I'll say that to her when I go home. Alwyn was on,
yes.
Edith. She says, I would be most grateful if possible that you pass a message on to Dr. Edith. I have three daughters, aged 11, and twins, aged 8. Because of her power to communicate and tell her story, it has firstly allowed a new generation to be made aware of the Holocaust. Her strength and courage are an example for them to bring on their journey throughout their lives. I will definitely refer to Dr. Edith in helping me to set an example in how I teach my children resilience and, most importantly, choice. Thank you. The gift will never be far from my side. That's Alwyn. And you have grandchildren, and have you got great-grandchildren as well, Edith?
Yes, I have actually 7 great-grandsons, and I have twin boys, and they are, I think I'm going to send it to you. I'll send you my Christmas card.
Oh, great.
And I'm holding the 2 beautiful boys.
Yeah.
Noah and so.
And do you fear for their future? Because a lot of what's happening in the world, I'm thinking social media, and like young people are getting validation from, you know, social media, and they're not finding inner strength.
I think love is not what you feel, is what you do. Children don't do what we say; they do what they see.
Right.
And they see everything. I beg parents, never ever raise your voice. It can cause PTSD in children; they tremble. I never ever will do anything but love, rather than fear, because when you fear, you have no love. You're not born with fear, you learned it. And I say that when I fear, I may also have guilt. And guilt is in the past, what I could have done and should have done. And you also have worry. And people never worry about good things happening. You see?
Yes.
What if this happens? What if that happens? Well, yeah, I think there is something about prepare for the worst and hope for the best. But when you live in fear, I've never seen love coming out of fear.
Mm. The book is brilliant because you share with us a lot of the stories of the people you treat. And through
yes.
those descriptions, we get an idea and we can see some of our own lives in it. One of the things that fascinated me and I want to talk to you about is one of the first questions you ask your clients is, when did you stop being a child? Why is that
yes.
question so important?
When did your childhood end?
Yes.
Because Piaget was a very well-known psychologist, Swiss psychologist, who talks about the ages and the stages of your development. So let me tell you about grief. What is happening in grief, that we grieve over not what happened, but what didn't happen. And when my granddaughter asked me to buy her a beautiful dress so she can go to a dance in Bishop School, wonderful school here in La Jolla. I bought her a beautiful dress. As you know, I wear designer's clothes. I come home, and out of the blue, I was crying. The word understand is very academic. You have to go to the classroom to understand. That's why we call men thick-headed, because they always figure things out. We women go to the heart and how we feel.
Yeah.
See, our brain is developed differently. So anyway, I was crying and I didn't get it. What am I crying about? And then I realized that I am not crying, because Lindsay went to her dance and I bought her a beautiful black velvet dress. I cried because I never went to a dance.
Uh-huh.
So people use a lot of defense mechanism. Denial, delusion, or minimization is mostly one. Oh, it's not such a big deal. Other people suffered more. I think it's very important to think about your thinking and pay attention what you're paying attention to. So I hope after this, people have a goal. I call it an arrow. that you follow that arrow, that you climb that mountain, you sleep and climb and sleep and climb, but you never stop climbing. And that's why my daughter calls it Edie-isms. When I ask, are you revolving or are you evolving?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, I really love the butterfly. If I would have been on Zoom with you, I have two butterfly, beautiful scarves that I wear, that you have to shed the chrysalis, because if you don't change, you don't grow.
Yeah. I'll just read you a couple more of our comments and then I'll let you go. And thanks so much. Edith Eger's book, The Choice, was a life changer for me. My husband and I are at 32, we're facing infertility, something that felt utterly uncontrollable in a consumer-driven world where we can get anything you want with a click of a button. I felt I couldn't control this uncontrollable element in my life. Edith's voice about the fact that regardless of circumstances, we always have a choice to live our lives within ourselves led me to look at the world through a different lens. I thank you, Edith. Mm-hmm. Isn't that lovely?
And, oh, how beautiful.
And will you please thank her for her wonderful books? I keep my copy of The Choice by my bed with sections underlined. My main take from the books was the importance of hope and resilience. I work on both, and they are gifts in themselves, says Catherine. And you are truly...
never give up.
Never, yes. Well, that you're a testimony to never giving up. And, like... people, I'm going to point people towards the Choice again, and of course the Gift is there as well. If you haven't read The Choice, you have to read it, and I'm saying that because you have to read it. It'll change your life, and it's a book that has stayed with me and will stay with me forever. And I thank you. I thank you for that.
And the best dancing partner.
The best thing. Well, to be able to dance with you, Edith Eger, was a total 100% privilege.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. And do you still...
And it was in the evening time. And now is the evening time and people ask me, how do you want to be remembered? And believe me, I want to be remembered that I am totally committed to do everything that your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will never, ever experience what I did.
Yeah.
And I know that as long as I live, I let people know what happens when good people do very, very bad things.
Hmm. Your capacity for forgiveness is truly amazing.
Yes.
Edith.
It gives you the ultimate freedom.
Yes.
Forgiveness is not me forgiving you. I don't have any godly power. But I had to go back to Auschwitz to reclaim my innocence. And you have to go through the rage and not cover garlic with chocolate or paprika, for that matter. Because if you knew then what you know now, you would have done things differently. And that's the end of guilt.
Mm. I'm going to recommend both your books to our listeners once again, The Choice and The
Thank
Gift,
you.
12 Lessons to Save Your Life. Mind yourself. And when all of this is over, Edith, and we're out the other side and you're traveling again, let's hope we can dance one more time.
Oh, I would love that. So the question is, two questions. One was, when did your childhood end?
Yes.
And the second one is, and you don't have to answer, would you like to be married to you?
Okay. Well, I'll have to work on that. I'll have to work on myself.
You are... a Renaissance man.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You have a brilliant mind and a warm, loving heart.
Thank you. I'll have to talk to you again about when did my childhood end, because I think that's something I have to revisit. For the moment, thank you so much, and mind yourself, and put on your Chanel scarf there and look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you love yourself. Thanks,
thank
Edith.
Thank you.
Bye now. Bye.
Irish,
bye.
Wonderful, loving, dancing people. Thank you. God love you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
What a wonderful, wonderful woman. You could spend hours in her company. She's just amazing. And she has that aura. And loads of lovely things coming in about Edith Eger. And we'll get to those after 4 o'clock because we have to go to Sweden now and say hello to Dominic McAleenan. How are you doing, Dominic?
Not too bad, Ray. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for taking our call. You're a bit of a hero.
No, not really, but I ended up in a situation that sort of maybe that label can stick a little bit.
Okay, right. You're modest. So you were out on Saturday. You are a cross-country skier, and you used to represent Ireland at that sport. But you were out training, were you, on Saturday?
Yeah, I was out on a lake near my home, and we've had a bit of about a month of cold weather. It's been quite a mild winter, and that sort of affects the ice and how the ice forms. So it's been a long time before you've been able to ski on the lakes that you normally would be able to do.
Right. And you were going your normal route, I suppose, and you spotted an elderly couple. And did they sort of, you know, pique your attention?
Yeah, this is like in a channel between two lakes, and it's like a ravine, and there's a swampy forest on either side, and I had actually decided that I wasn't going to go there because the ice was quite bad, and then I was up in the forest, and then I sort of circled back onto that channel, and I was going along, and the ice is creaking and cracking, and I'm like, and the skis actually spread out the weight, so I was actually starting to think maybe I should turn back. Mm. And then I see two, like, they're 85 and 86 years old, come walking along right. with ski poles, and I stopped to just say, look, I'm sorry that, but I don't think you should be here. I'm frightened, so maybe you should turn back. And she said, oh, but he's very stubborn enough. The old man kept walking. And then the next minute when I'm talking to her, he disappeared.
Sorry, so I shouldn't laugh because it was quite serious at the time. But I can just picture this stubborn 85, 86-year-old man and not listening to you or his wife.
Yeah, and he was gone. And he was hanging on his arms on the edge of the ice in the water. And he's screaming. And she hasn't even reacted yet. So I skied over to him, and the moment I took off the skis, the displacement of my weight disappeared, and I went straight through the ice as well.
Right, right. And where is the woman involved? She's still up.
She's maybe about 10 steps away.
Okay.
And she starts to move towards us. So when I lie him up on my chest, because I have a backpack on that sort of is hooked on the edge of the ice.
Right.
And I lie back and lift him up out of the water and then roll over.
Yeah.
And then she's come towards us. And as she gets closer to the edge of, it's very strange that ice can be thicker in the middle of a channel, but it's towards the edges, it's thinner and more brittle. So she went through the ice and was down over a log, lying in the water, complaining of back pain and her leg. And as I tried to lift her up, she couldn't stand up. And then this is where it becomes almost a parody, because I'm lifting her up and she grabs a hold of a tree and she's shaking, he has slipped into the water again.
Right, it is. Yeah, it's a parody. You're right.
So, and then I screamed at him. I'm like, can you please just get away from the water? And then we're in a place and I'm standing there thinking it's -5. This man is very wet. He's freezing.
Yeah.
Should I call the emergency number? And then we decided to walk about a mile almost through the forest along this river back to a bridge near where they lived.
Wow. You saved their lives, Dominic.
Yeah, they came the next day because she asked me what my name was and she kept calling me Donald, which was rather interesting. But and I said what road I lived on, and they came and left a card and chocolates and flowers, and she wrote that we'd never have survived without you.
Right.
So that was really, really, that was nice. But it was, I actually, afterwards, when I sat here at home in the evening, I still, until they came the next day, I was almost like, did that really happen?
Yeah.
It was a bit bizarre.
Yes, it sounds completely bizarre. And it's just, but you know the relationship that they have. She knows him and she knows he's a stubborn man, so she's not going to attempt. And when you were shouting at her to stay back and she kept coming and then she fell in and
she and then even as we went back the other way, because there was a point where we had to cross the river. And I had to say to them again, look, stop walking beside each other because for obvious reasons you need to stay. If somebody goes through the ice, it's better not to sort of be close to them.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but they were lucky, and part of me was sort of asking myself, how did they ever get to 85? But then you think that maybe it's because they are so daring that they got this.
Exactly. We had this lady on last week. She's a geriatrician. Dr. Lucy Pollock, and one of the things she wrote in her book about getting old was that we should encourage risk-taking. You know, that sometimes we cosset and mollycoddle older people, and that's not really good for their mental health. And if they want to do it, let them off. So that's, as you say, that's a shrewd observation on your part that, you know, part of the reason they're still, you know, hale and hearty is because they take risks and they're out there and they're walking on ice and you're saving their lives. Speaking of saving lives, like you were close to death, were you, last year? You're a 51-year-old man. I didn't mention you're from Banbridge. And you, I'd never heard of this before. You had a silent heart attack.
Yeah, I had, you've probably heard of a massive heart attack, and massive in a heart attack context is how much of the heart muscle is actually affected by the... So I had no indication of anything before. I mean, I'm a cross-country skier. A few weeks before it, I'd skied a couple of hundred kilometers at a weekend. And 2 days before I had the heart attack, I had a pain up my neck, just a very sharp pain, but nothing in my chest. So, and even when I had the heart attack, I didn't have any experience of pain in my chest. I had a sensation of dread, and I went in to my daughter and explained that I had a pain in my jaw, and she called 911, or she called the emergency number, and I walked down the stairs, and I sat in the kitchen and waited for the ambulance, was a bit annoyed at the blue lights of the ambulance in the middle of the night, and the guy came in, and the moment he connected me up, when the first beat went into the machine, he said, it's good that you called because you're actually having a heart attack.
Wow.
How did they
explain that to you, Dominic? And what could you have done, if anything?
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
No. And is there any test that would have spotted it before? If you know?
No.
No. Nothing.
No. Because it wasn't, because basically I had something where it was constricting on one artery, but I've got quite a strong heart, and it was constricting, but I was not noticing that.
But was it stenosis? Was it a build-up?
Yeah, there's one narrowing at the top of the artery, but the rest of the arteries are clear.
Yes.
My father had the same thing. But my brother died at 41, a marathon runner who, 2 years before he passed, he was top 50 in the Dublin Marathon, and he was.
So he was running sub 2.5 hours or around 2.5 hours. Then,
2:49.
2:49, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and then 2 years later, he just was gone in the blink of an eye. But he had a different condition, enlarged heart and stuff. But these are things that you don't know until you get the signal that something serious is wrong.
How are you now?
I run the 10K still under 50 minutes.
Right.
I still ski 5 days a week. But you just have this thing in the back of your mind that you have this injury. So I have the left ventricle doesn't really contract the way it should. But the rest of the heart compensates for it. So I don't experience any heart failure or anything like that.
And did you get stents? Did you get stents in?
Two stents in the top of the artery, yeah.
Amazing story. We didn't get the elderly couple's names. Did you get them?
Yes. Ulla Britt and Hans.
Ulla Blake.
Ulla Britt
and Hans.
And Hans.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And they are with their loved ones because of... your actions last Saturday. Dominic McAleenan, great talking to you from Banbridge, and mind yourself. And
take care
on the thin ice. Okay, see you. Yeah, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gurma, good morning. Thank you very much. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. The reaction to Edith Eger, can't bring you at all, but just a flavour of it. Tell Edith that she made an indelible mark on me and will be passed along to my children, says Emer. I read Dr. Eger's book, The Choice, and it has changed my life. She will never know. Thanks so much. And what an incredibly wonderful woman. She's a beautiful soul. I got The Choice and started to read it last night, tears pouring, but not with a heavy heart. She's an absolute heroine, and I can't wait to get the gift and then pass both of them on to my daughter. Thank you so much. Edith, says that person, I've stopped work and I'm listening to the interview with Edith, a remarkable woman, so wise. She puts our attitude to lockdown into perspective. Love the quote, no one can take your power, says Sinead. And I felt compelled to listen to Dr. Edith today on the show. What a remarkable woman. The world is a better place with this brilliant woman in it. And what a legend of a woman. And at the moment, I'm reading both of those books. I'm an interfaith minister. And at the moment, I am doing quite a bit of pastoral care and pastoral counselling via the phone. She's such an inspiration. Thanks, says Yvonne. And The Choice is an amazing book. We can learn history in school, but to read the story by Edith Eger is better than any history lesson. I look forward to her new book, says Anne. Yeah, the particular to the general, I think, is a better way of learning and understanding history. I've learned more about myself in the past 30 minutes than in the past 30 years. I've ordered the book, says Kieran. And the question Edith posed, would you like to be married to yourself? Certainly gives pause for thought, says Catherine. And could you spell Edith's surname? E-G-E-R. E-G-E-R. And give us the name of the two books again. It's The Choice and The Gift. Edith Eger. And what an amazing woman. Now, press the button. Our quiz of today. Today being the 18th of February. Already? Huh? 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years, and we have a prize. This week our prize comes from the I Knew a Collection of Hotels. Each day, lucky listener who wins the quiz wins a two-night break with dinner in any one of the four-star hotels, and you can find the location of those at iknewa.ie. iknewa.ie, and to book a summer break, eyes on summer with I Knew a Collection. That's what they want us to remind you about. Now, Dominic Galler, how are you doing, Dominic?
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you today.
Thank you very much.
You're in Drumcondra.
That's correct, yes. Originally from Moylock, County Galway.
Right. Where's Moylock now? Is that in the city?
It would be about 14 miles from Toom.
Oh, right. South
or country.
South or north?
Galway northeast.
Right. So you're not on the N17, are you? Or
No. The N23, I believe.
Okay. And how long are you in Dublin?
Oh, I'm in Dublin since 1974.
Ah, yeah. You're safe.
You've done longer in Dublin than
at home in Moylock. Yeah, yeah. And what's your story at home, Dominic?
Sorry?
What's your story at home? Who's at home with you?
Una is my wife.
Yeah. And you two grown children, what do they do?
My son, Brian, he's a teacher in Skull Katrina, the all-Irish school.
Yeah.
And my daughter, Roisin, she's a nutritionist.
Okay. And you're in a very small club. You're one of 13 people who have completed the Dublin City Marathon every year since it began.
That's right, yeah. There's 12 men and one very special lady, Mary Hickey from Arklow,
Who's
completed all the marathons since they started in 1980.
I met Mary. She ran around Ireland. We had
she
her on
indeed.
The TV show.
Oh, yes, a remarkable lady.
Yeah. So you've done 40 Dublin City Marathons.
Correct, yes. And 11 others. I include one I did this year virtually.
Yes, great. And you're 67, so you're
67, no spring chicken, no.
No. How long does it take you now to do them?
I have to walk them now because I had a hip replacement in 2016.
Right.
So it takes about 6.5 hours now.
Right.
But I used to be good when I was young. Did one in 2 hours, 36 minutes.
That's impressive. That's very impressive.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. And do your doctors advise you against doing it? No.
My consultant, Gavin McHugh, from the sports clinic in Santry, he gave me the go-ahead to walk it,
right.
not to run it.
Okay. And would you do it again this year?
I plan to, yes.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it'll go off officially, but we don't know yet.
Say again?
I'm hoping that the organising committee will organise an official marathon.
Yeah.
With the pandemic, maybe that may not happen.
Yeah.
But if not, I will do it virtually.
Virtually again. Okay.
Yeah, indeed.
Right. Brilliant. You're up against Tommy Stokes from Kildare. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm very well, Ray, and yourself?
Yeah, Dominic. Dominic has said hello to you there, Tommy.
How are you, Dominic?
Oh, good man, Tommy. Best of luck.
Yeah.
Off the lilies.
Yeah, God. You don't get any preferential treatment now, Tommy, for saying that.
I know.
Yeah.
It has to be somewhere.
Yeah. Are you Kildare Town?
No, Ness.
Ness, rightio. Right.
Yeah.
And what's your story?
I'm retired.
Right.
Four grown-up children.
Yeah.
And married to Patricia from Campion Crescent.
Oh, Patricia what?
Hill.
Oh, Patricia, God, look across the... Yeah, sure.
Her... No, I'm not looking for any favours, Ray, telling you that.
Patricia's,
it might help.
Patricia's brother, Christopher, was very friendly with my brother, Hugh.
That's right.
They were in the same class. And I mentioned Patricia's sister... Bridgie recently on St. Bridget's Day because she was...
All right.
Yeah, so there you go.
So you know them all, so...
I don't know them all. There was Anne Hill as well, wasn't there?
That's right.
Yeah. Is that Patricia in the background there? Say, agreeing?
It is, yeah. throwing daggers at me here.
Is she? Right, okay. We don't want to get you in trouble. So you retired and are the four children gone off, left?
I have a son in Dubai and he's actually listening to this.
Right, okay.
And I had a son in Thailand, but he's home now. He had a bit of an injury out there.
Right.
And then I have a daughter here in Ness. She's married with five kids.
Yeah.
And I have a son living in Ness as well, Chen, the eldest fella.
Okay, so you...
And they're all hearty, all well.
Great, brilliant to hear. Okay,
yeah.
Lads, five questions each. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If there's a draw at the end of it, we go to a tie-break situation. Say good luck to each other there and we get going.
Good luck, Tommy.
Good luck, Dominic. I don't mean it, but the best of luck anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Your transfer. Right, Dominic, first question for you. On this day in 1332, Amda Seyon I, Emperor of Ethiopia, began his campaigns in the southern Muslim provinces. On what continent would you find Ethiopia?
It's in Africa.
Correct answer. And for you, Tommy, on this day in 2014, police clashed with anti-government protesters in Bangkok, Thailand. On what continent would you find Thailand?
Asia.
Correct answer. Dominic, second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this voice.
I'm sorry, I'm not perfect.
No one's asking you to be perfect. Just consider it would do.
I don't even want to go to school in this state anyway. I hate California. I want to go to the East Coast.
Your dad and I will barely be able to afford in-state tuition.
There are loans,
your brother,
scholarships.
Your very smart brother, he can't even find a job.
On this day in 2018, at the 71st BAFTAs, that Irish actress you heard there was nominated for a Best Actress Award for her role in Lady Bird. Can you name her?
That's Saoirse Ronan.
It is Saoirse Ronan. Well done, Dominic. Tommy, have a listen to this.
Yep. My relatively inexperienced heart, would I fear not recover if I was once again cast aside, as I would absolutely expect to be. There are just too many pictures of you, too many films.
Okay, still with the 71st BAFTAs from on this day in 2018. That actor was nominated for a Best Actor Award for his role in Paddington 2. You heard him there in Notting Hill. Can you name him?
No. Can't think of it. No.
Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant is the man
we were looking for.
Yeah. Okay. Right. No sweat. Dominic, third question for you. On this day in 1932, Japan invaded and claimed Manchuria in northeast China. How many stars are there on the flag of China? Four or five?
I don't know, so I'm going to chance five.
That's a guess. But it's correct. Correct answer. Well done. Five is the correct answer. Now, Tommy, on this day in 1955, the Baghdad Defense Pact was signed by Iraq and Turkey. How many stars are there on the flag of Turkey? One or two?
Two.
It's one. Yeah. Now, it's getting tight for you now, Tommy.
Yeah.
Okay. Dominic's fourth question. If he gets this right, Tommy, you can't catch him.
Okay.
If he gets it wrong, you're in with a chance if you answer your final two questions correct and he gets his final one wrong. Okay, Dominic, question number four. Good luck with this. Have a listen.
Time is short, life is good, but it happens to us to change.
On this day in 1982, that song was number one. Can you name the band?
No, I'm afraid I can't. No.
The Jam. It was The Jam. Did you know that, Tommy?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, you might get this one then. You're still in there. Dominic's on...
Give me one I know, will you?
Okay. Do you know what to say about... they're all easy when you know the answer. Here we go. Yeah, have a listen to this. Yeah. On this day in 1986, that song was number one. Name the singer to stay in the competition. Tommy Stokes from Kildare.
Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis is the wrong answer.
Oh, who is it?
I know how you got that mixed up because both songs were used in films. That's Billy. That's Billy Ocean. That's Billy Ocean. There. Yeah. Right.
Okay, well, no
Tommy.
Problem.
I tell you what, for you and Patricia, I'm going to send out a mug each.
Good stuff.
Okay. A mug for a mug, as they say in Kildare. Okay, Tommy, great talking to you. Mind yourself.
Thank you very much.
See you, Patricia.
Okay,
bye. See you.
Bye.
Dominic, well done.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, so you can go on to iknewa.ie and choose which hotel you're going to visit with your partner, wife, after all this is over. iknewa.ie. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Great talking to you, Dominic. Mind yourself.
Thank
See you.
You.
Bye.
Thank
bye
you.
Now. Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We're going to speak to Charlene McKenna in a moment, but first a bit of this. That's great. Stop This Flame on RTE Radio 1. Now, our next guest has starred in everything from Peaky Blinders to Pure Mule, Ripper Street to Raw. And she'll be back on our TV screens on Sunday night on BBC One as part of a new Belfast-based crime series, Bloodlands, alongside James Nesbitt. Charlene McKenna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are we?
Great to talk to you. I'm good.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, you got married. Yeah.
I did, finally. Only took 35 different attempts, but we got there. Is this only the dress rehearsal? The big party is to come.
Yeah, and all those attempts were with the same man, were they? Yeah.
Well, there was a few stand-ins just in case. It's like, I like the subs bench,
yes.
just in case, you know, you have to keep your options up. Yes, they were.
Well, do you know what they say? You have to kiss a number of frogs to find your prince charming.
But this is it.
Yeah. So Adam Ruthenberg is the
man. That's him, yeah.
Yes. And you met on the set of Ripper Street.
We did indeed. We did. 2012, that was.
Wow, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
So can you remember the first time you set eyes on him?
Do you know, I really can. We had to, as two actors, meet up for... talk about our upcoming scenes that week because it was the first week of the shoot and blah, blah, blah. And the director was like, maybe you two, you know, have a coffee and chat it out. And we went to Bewley's and we had a coffee. I can't even remember where we were sitting. And I have very fond memories of Bewley's because of it, because I just like, I'd never met anyone like him. And it really struck me. And then we just worked together for a few months. Nothing at all happened. And then we sort of started gently dating because it was long distance and it was awkward. And but sure, look, here we are.
Yeah,
still awkward. I haven't seen him since the wedding. So.
Have you not?
No, he's on Ozark filming, so he's in Atlanta. Yeah, and I'm on Peaky, so it's like, well, that was fun. I'll see you in August. Goodbye.
Well, you know, some people say that that's the recipe for a great relationship, marriage.
Oh, yeah. It's the secret. Don't look at them. Don't see them.
Well, yeah.
I think a lot of people get tested that now after a year of lockdown. They're like, yes. Absence.
Yeah. The pictures are just, you look stunning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was an at-home hair dye job, an at-home fringe. I mean, the whole thing. My niece, Rebecca, did my hair and makeup. And my other niece, Laura, on the hairspray, Laura, she'll get it. Yes, so it was a very all at-home, in-house job. But we pulled something together, thankfully.
Up in Castle Leslie.
Yeah, Castle Leslie very kindly let us have our little, all six of us in there. And it was really special because we had the whole place to ourselves, obviously. Yeah. So I was going about the place for about 20 minutes, like I owned it. nice. I had a nice fantasy 20 minutes where I went, and this is my living room.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really special.
Yeah. So you're up in Monaghan now. And yeah. Have you converted an outhouse, or are you converting it, or what?
We converted an outhouse during lockdown. Me and my brothers and Adam and Mommy and Daddy. Oh my God, talk about an in-house job. And it's just a dream. It's a dream, because then we have it now for when we're in Ireland, and it's a wee haven.
Yeah.
So thanks to all the hands on deck together, it was really special, actually.
Brilliant. Listen, I watched the first episode of Bloodlands, and it's very good. It is very, very good. I don't know why I'm sounding surprised, but it's very good. So it's brought to you by the same people who brought sort of Bodyguard and Line of Duty.
Yeah.
Jed Mercurio, he's the executive producer. And it's James Nesbitt and you, and you're his sidekick. You're a detective sergeant. You're Zig and Zag. Yeah. Yes.
We're Zig and Zag. I'm his detective sergeant. Yeah. So he's my superior. But I don't mind too much. I don't listen to him that much.
No.
And Jed Mercurio's behind it, and Chris Brandon's the writer. And it's, sort of anything Jed is involved with, he's got such an eye. He's phenomenal. I mean, The Bodyguard, The Line of Duty are speaks to themselves. Yes, so it has the bones. It had all the bones to be good. So just hopefully everyone enjoys it now. It's on Sunday.
Yeah. And do you know what it is, which these things need? There's a bit of light relief. And Chris Whalley, who people will know from Young Offenders, he's sort of a bit green and a bit wet behind the ears.
Yeah.
And he asks the stupid questions when it comes to a briefing. But he sort of, he breaks the tension brilliantly.
Me and Chris had a ball filming together, because I thankfully get to be the ones to give him the looks like, are you serious? And the best thing, they're like, the art department need an award, because they put tiny little policeman Legos Chris's character computer in the police station, and I think it's the stroke of genius. He's got these little Legos on his computer, and I was like, there you go, now go play with your Legos and we'll go solve crimes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And it's set in Belfast. It's against the backdrop of, it's peacetime, but the plot line goes back to when there wasn't peace, pre-1998. And it's a brilliant story. No spoilers here. You have to tune in Sunday night on BBC. It's the first of four, isn't it, Charlene?
Yeah, there's four. Yeah. And it's very much interesting. It explores that that dichotomy of peace and justice, and which can you have one with the other, and what do you do? And
yes,
there's a lot of cliffhangers.
But that's a big question. Do you go back and unearth things that happened before peace, for fear of starting the whole thing again? Now, Peaky Blinders is coming back, and I believe you're, without giving away anything again, that you're playing a bigger part this time.
Yeah, I was introduced. I was only ever meant to be introduced in season five because they wanted to pepper her in for You'll See Why when gets to be released. Obviously it was meant to be done, shot and out by now.
Yeah.
So it wasn't meant to be as big of a build up to me coming back into it.
Yeah.
But yes, we're back filming now, having a ball. It's great. Everyone's delighted to be back at work and grateful, and the atmosphere is fantastic. And yeah, we're back, and I'm not sure when it'll air. I would imagine later in the year.
Okay, late in 2021. Listen,
I would imagine, yeah.
When we get to the other side of this, you might come in and say hello to us if you're still around.
I know.
You've been unbelievably busy, and I know Bloodlands happened before lockdown, but since lockdown you've managed to renovate an outhouse into a house, you got married, and you did Peaky Blinders. So you're a very busy woman. So thanks for taking...
Yeah, I got a few things done.
You got a few
things. Some of them harder than others. I'll stick to the acting.
Thanks for taking time out to talk to us. Congratulations
again.
No
worries. Thanks, Ryan.
Charlene,
thank
bye
you,
now.
Ray.
Bye. Now, at the beginning of the program, we spoke to Susanna, the first of the Operation Transformation leaders to take on the 5K, the virtual 5K, which is happening today, tomorrow and Saturday. And we asked her to send us in a voice note before we left. So here it is.
Well, guess what?
Go on.
I did it. Yeah. I finished it. I'm at the finish line.
Yes.
And I did it within 55 minutes.
Well done,
Susanna. So that was fantastic. So thank you for supporting us all through. We really appreciate it. And thanks very much for, you know, kicking start the day for us. We really appreciate that.
Well
thank
done,
you.
Susanna. Well done. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.